Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, and welcome to Says Who for the Addictive Personality. I am author of Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge Where Souls Connect. And I'm here with my co-host, Aura Nadrich.
Hi, everybody. I am Aura, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I am a certified life coach, certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and the creator of the Says Who method for transforming negative and fear-based thoughts. And that's what we're going to help you do. We are going to help you transform those thoughts that get in the way of you creating the life that you want and deserve.
And on the show, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps, A Course in Miracles, and Aura's Says Who method. The main thing we're going to talk about and how all three of those things work together is the power of thought and how your thought runs your life. It creates your life.
We are going to take these seven questions that I've created so that you can find out if your thoughts are real or if they're not, and if they're serving your well-being or if they're not. And by you sending us in your questions, we're going to be able to work with you directly so that we can help you use the Says Who method to change those thoughts out to make your life work.
Let's do it, Aura. Hello, everybody. This is Johnny Calloway and Aura Nadrich. We're here today with the Says Who for the Addictive Personality. And today we're going to approach the idea of irritable, restless, and discontent. Hello, Aura.
Hey, Johnny. Hello. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. So we have a question. Aura, do you have that question in front of you?
I do. Why don't we jump into this question that Johnny and I received on our new Facebook page, Says Who for the Addictive Personality, which we invite you all to please check in with our page. It's going to be just chock full of great posts about Says Who method for the addictive personality. And we really encourage you to send in your questions. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on with you in the area of addiction. And we have a really good question from Jill. And her question is, does it matter what our addiction is? Mind change almost daily. Is that the new normal or just crazy in Alabama? That is why I am going back to Texas, where I belong. Pray for me and all of those Texans that I love. Thank you, Jill, for sending in your question.
Thank you so much, Jill. So, Aura, you want to respond to that first, or you want me to give it a go, or how you want to go?
You know, I love the three words that we're going to be using as our theme for this show, Johnny, that you said, irritable, restless, and discontent. Because when I saw Jill's question, what came up to me immediately was unrest and compulsivity, which are things that churn like a motor inside all of us. And it does create the very things that you mentioned, irritability, restlessness, and discontent. So I want to hear what you have to say about that, Johnny.
Well, I know I've been in the 12-step rooms for over 30 years, and that's something that gets talked about frequently. And one of the things that I've come to realize is that a big part of what our addiction does for us, regardless of what it is about, what we're addicted to, is about trying to deal with those three things. I'm irritable. What do I do to feel better? I'm restless. What do I do to feel better? I'm discontent. What do I do to feel better? And my mind tells me, well, you need to do some dope. You need to go play poker. You need to go find a woman. Whatever my form of addiction is, and as far as answering Jill's question, it does, for me, it does not matter what your addiction is. My recovery has been like playing whack-a-mole at the fair. I'll deal with one addiction, and then another one will pop up. I'll deal with another one, and then another one pops up. Because dealing with what we call in the 12-step rooms the symptom of my addiction, which is whatever the substance is, that is the symptom. It is not the cause. And what we talk about so much on our show, Aura, that ties right into this, let's get to the cause. Where does that thought come from that tells me, you know what, if I had a shot of heroin right now, I wouldn't be so restless. So where does that thought come from? Because the thought is the cause. What we do is the effect.
Absolutely. And what I say and Says Who is that your thoughts do create those emotions. There's always a thought behind that emotion or behind that feeling? And I do say that in Says Who, because I know for me with my own story, which we talked about in one of our sessions together, is that when I had a thought that caused me irritability and restlessness and discontent, a thought was born out of fear, but that thought created the symptom. It created what I call and Says Who the side effect, and it caused me anxiety, and I didn't know why I was feeling anxiety. So by the time we're so taken over by what we're feeling, we don't even know why we're feeling what we're feeling, and we need to know why. We need to know why. Why do I feel so irritable? Why do I feel so restless? And why am I discontent? That is where the gold is. That's what you want to know about yourself. You want to go in there and know what is it that is causing you to feel those symptoms, those side effects, the emotionality around your thought that then causes you to take action, which is to reach out for a drug or alcohol or gambling or sex or whatever it is that you think is going to calm down that irritability, is going to make that restlessness and that discontent go away.
So I'm going to say, as we move forward here, one of the things that I'm going to ask everybody in the audience to do is please have an open mind. Some of the thoughts may be a little foreign to you. The idea of you having control over your thoughts might be a little foreign to you. So I'm going to say, just be open. Just give us a little willingness and just be open to the ideas that we share with you. There is a line toward the end of the AA book that says, contempt prior to investigation is a bar to all growth, or something to that effect. So please, just be open with us here and have the open mind and be willing to explore your thoughts and how your thoughts create your life and push you toward yes. what you think will fix you.
Yes, Johnny, you know, please, the open mind is where you will find answers. That's where you will find the answers. And when we have a closed mind, closed anything, think about that. When something is closed, you can't get as much light in there if something's closed, but you sure can get a lot more light in when something's open, and it could shed light on the very answers that you're looking for. So yes, please join us with an open mind, you know, so important. And then, you know, yes, our thoughts, there's a lot to explore with our thoughts, and it could be very daunting and very scary and very overwhelming to understand our thoughts. That's what I'm offering up with Says Who, is get to know your thoughts, all of them. They have something they want you to know. They have answers for you. They want you to dig in deeper to find out, what is the thought that's connected to your irritability? What is the thought that's connected to your restlessness? What is the thought that's connected to being discontent? And I can tell you, which I do in my Says Who meditation, which I walk people through, I guide them in a meditation of bringing a thought up, inviting it up, welcoming it, asking it to come up so that you can really look at it closely and find out, like, oh, there's the thought behind me feeling so discontent. I'm feeling so sad. I'm feeling so hopeless and so helpless. And you might find a thought that's right there underneath the surface of that feeling. And if you can ask it to come forward, it will come and it will tell you something that you need to know.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tag right along with that. One of the things that has been a big part of my personal recovery, because I am an addict and an alcoholic, I have done all those things, and I doubt if you have more of them than I do. So, but the thing is, part of my recovery has been, if something comes up for me and I find myself really, really resisting going into it, that means I really, really need to look at it. Because in my world, what that means is there's a healing on the other side of it for me. If I'm resisting it, it's because that in the 12-step rooms, we talk about the disease and how it talks to us. And if my disease is telling me, no, don't do that. I need to do that. So if I'm asking, if a question has come up for me about how I think and I find myself, no, I don't want to go in there, I got to go in there, because on the other side of that are my answers. And I have believed for years that my emotions and my feelings are my greatest teachers if I explore them. If I run from them by taking a drug or by acting on any of my addictions, if I run from them or if I fight them, I can't learn from them. But if I can allow myself just to be with, nobody wants to be sad, but if sadness comes up and I explore the thought of what the sadness is about and I can sit in the sadness, I don't have to be afraid of it anymore.
Right, exactly, Johnny. That is so true. And what I want to say about that, as far as bringing up thoughts, and even if you don't know what the thought is behind the emotion that you're feeling, let's just say you're feeling sad or you're feeling anxious. You know, to be able to, what I say in the book is try and be the observer, try and be your own witness. That when you find yourself feeling sad, like it's like a wave that comes up in you, that you can say, you know, I'm feeling kind of sad right now. I got this feeling of sadness and I don't know why, but I can at least identify that feeling and I can say, hey, you know what? I'm feeling kind of sad and it's rumbling inside me and I don't know why. Let me be with it. Let me see if I can explore it deeper and not to run away from it and not to try to reach for something that's going to push it away or it's going to numb it. Or it's going to completely anesthetize the very thing that I'm feeling. It's like you're killing off a part of your feeling. And like, as I say in life, we have all of the spectrum of feelings. It's part of this symphony. It's part of the orchestra. It's part of the tones and the keys on a piano. How could you play or create a composition if you didn't have all the keys, all the notes? How could you have an opera if it was just all sopranos and there were no baritones? That wouldn't reflect the incredible expression of the drama of life. Don't fear it. Move towards it. It's real. It's real. That's who we are. That's just, we're human beings. You know, we have all of these feelings. Don't shove them down. Don't thwart them. Don't pretend you're not having them. Let yourself feel it and then explore it more deeply to find out what it wants to tell you about yourself. Don't you want to know? Much as that saying, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Is that not the truth? You know, what are you even fearing?
When I first started on my recovery path, I used to hear this thing all the time of like, you got to feel it to heal it.
Right.
And I also heard that a big part of what addiction is about is avoidance. We use our addictions to avoid our feelings. We use our addictions to, they're a distraction from what's going on right now, because we don't want to be present in the moment. So if I can, and I'm going to keep going back to the asking, because the asking is golden. Asking the question, I put a post on our site the other day, on our page the other day, asking the question, is this belief real? Is it true? That is like opening the door and letting myself out of my own prison, because I am the prisoner and I am the warden. And asking the question opens the door. If I can ask myself the question of like, oh God, there's so many of them. Is this real? I can just go right back to that. Is this real? Why am I discontent? Why am I irritable? What is the thought that's prompting that?
Find the thought. And I'm telling you, you can access it. If you allow yourself just to be with what you're feeling, and if you can just, you know, ride that wave. Look, I use the analogy of an ocean a lot. The waters can be still, the waters can be calm, but boy, they can also be very rageful. And you want to be able to ride that wave and know that you can and trust that you can. And you're going to feel these emotions that are going to be so overwhelming for you at times that impulse, if you will, to want to numb it or to kill it off, if you can just really ride that wave, as uncomfortable as it is, and I know it is, and listen, we all have something very deep in common, and it's called the human condition. Whether you're an addict, I'm not an addict. That doesn't mean that I don't get irritable. That doesn't mean that I don't get restless. That doesn't mean that I haven't felt discontent. That doesn't mean that I haven't felt unrest. And that doesn't mean that I am not at times compulsive. It's in us. It's part of being in this body. We're having a human experience, as that beautiful quote is. Pierre, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Desjardins. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we get so taken over by our human experience that we can't handle it sometimes. It's too much for us. It's too overwhelming for us. We can't take it all in. It's just too much. And for people that are more sensitive, or people that have been more traumatized, or people that have been more wounded, their go-to place sometimes is, this is too much for me to feel. I can't take it. So try and be with the thought around your feeling. Just give it a try. Remember what we said, open mind, people. Try and put your, I don't care if it's your little toe, put it in the water. It doesn't have to be your big toe. It can be your little toe. But just try these waters. Try these waters. And I'm telling you, if you can start to really connect the thought to what you're feeling and also be the observer, hey, you know what, Johnny? Whether you're saying it to yourself or you're communicating it to a partner or to a friend, if we could say to each other, hey, you know what, Johnny? I'm feeling really sad. I'm feeling really lonely. You know, I got this feeling and it feels like it's taking me over so badly. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with it. And I'm thinking is that maybe there's a way for me to like numb it.
Right.
You know.
A way to avoid it, to numb it, to avoid it, to not feel it because we're afraid of our feelings. There's two things I want to say here. My first 12-step sponsor really, really drove home to me the importance of an open mind. And I'll never forget when he said to me after I had pontificated for 30 minutes about my ideas about spirituality, he said, it might behoove you to be open to the idea that perhaps everything you think you know could be wrong. And I live in the space today. I've done a lot of studying. I've done a lot of personal work and on healing myself and all that. But I try to, no matter what I think I know, I try to live in the space of like, wow, there's more. There could be more for me to learn here. And maybe what I've been thinking for the last 30 years, maybe it's wrong. So if I can be in that place and I can, I personally love checking into what I'm thinking and said, you know, and I'll hear somebody at a workshop or at a 12-step meeting or something, they'll say something and it sounds really, really cool. I want to dissect it because everything that sounds cool doesn't mean it holds water, doesn't mean it's going to benefit me in my life. So I will dissect. Some people call that being analytical. I don't care what you call it. It has benefited me to dissect things before I go around parroting them, telling, oh, this is, and then after a year of parroting what I heard, then it hits me. Well, you know what? That really isn't consistent with my other thoughts and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounded good. So.
Yeah, but that's that open mind, Johnny, you were talking about. You see, I think that if one of the fears that we have with holding on to our beliefs is that, well, if we stop believing them, well, what are we going to believe in? If suddenly you figured out that something isn't congruent with something that you realize today, and that you have to give up an old belief that's been carrying you for quite some time and has served you, whether it served you poorly or it served you well, there are people that are very hard put to give up those beliefs because they're like, how do I give this up? If I give this up, who am I? Who am I? Am I going to disappear? It's very scary to give up our beliefs because we don't really know what to replace them with, which is really, again, what I talk about in the book about release and replace. Guess what? You can release a thought that isn't working for you, even if you know full on that it's not working for you. It's making you feel horrible about yourself. Guess what? You can replace it with another thought that does make you feel good about yourself. Gee, what an idea. How about being willing to do that? Give up telling yourself that you're a horrible human being and that you're going to amount to nothing, and tell yourself something like, I am worthy and I am going to amount to something. Just try that on. You know, we talked a little bit about that in the last session. Try with that. Try to give up a thought or a belief that no longer serves your well-being and replace it with something that might even be foreign to you. It might be really foreign for you to say something kind and loving and supportive to yourself. Maybe you're someone that says such terrible things to yourself that you don't even know what it would feel like to begin to love yourself. It's so foreign to you.
So I want to bring this back to the irritable, restless, and discontent and to the Says Who method and the 12 steps and A Course in Miracles. The thing is, if I'm restless, if I'm irritable, if I'm discontent, there's a thought driving that. There is a thought driving that. There just is. So if I can be willing to explore it. Now, unfortunately, typically the thought that's driving that is buried under layers of lies. I'm in no way saying that you can go through Aura 7 questions one time and be done and go sit on a mountaintop somewhere, because this is a process. This is peeling away layers of lies. But if you keep doing that, you can do whatever you want to do. So with the irritable, restless, and discontent, seek out the thought that drives that feeling.
That's right. Ask it. Ask it to come forward. Welcome it. You have no idea what you might call up. And even if you're feeling afraid to call up a thought that you don't know what it's going to be, tell yourself you'll be able to handle it, because you will. You will. Even if it's a thought that might seem very frightening to you, even if it's a thought that's going to make you feel uncomfortable, when you're willing to call it up and to shine light on it, you're going to be able to begin the process of changing it and begin the process of transforming the very thought that has kept you hostage for so long.
So I'm just going to sum this all up with this little equation that Orr and I share. Change a thought. Change a feeling, change a belief. Change a belief, change a behavior, change a behavior. You've changed your life.
That's right.
It all starts with a thought, though.
That's right. So, everything begins with a thought.
So we're going to start wrapping this up. We're going to say connect with us on our Facebook page, Says Who for the Addicted Personality. Connect with us on our, we have a website even. Connect with us on there. Leave us questions. We really want interaction here. So leave us questions. Anything that comes up, bring it up, and we will approach it.
Yes, please. We really want to hear from you. Bring us into your conversation, and we want to bring you into ours. And we together, we're a we. We're a lot more powerful as a we than feeling like we're alone trying to find these answers. We are a we, and we can do this together.
You're not alone. We're here with you.
Yep.
Okay, we love you, and we're going to ask you to catch up with us again next week. And thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.
Bye.